gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' feel it and you gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it.
Here comes the, here comes the, here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like.
Here comes the.
NFL fans, welcome to another edition of This Week in the NFL here on the North South Connection Podcast Network. I am your host, the Cowboy, and we are getting ready for Week 10. Joined, as has been customary lately, we've had some consistency here on the This Week in the NFL. Four-man booth, first and foremost, my co-host from the beginning of this show, Mr. John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
Hey, pretty good, Roger. Surviving a week of that cold November rain. Bringing back memories of when, me and you were arm in arm watching Guns N' Roses.
Oh, man. I had tickets to the Fenway show that was canceled this year because of COVID. It was like 75 degrees here, so it wasn't cold November rain up in up in Rhode Island. But it's good. I enjoy the sentiment, John. I enjoy the sentiment. And as always, the retired Cowboy Senior. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great over here. Just one little solemn thing that happened this week. RIP to one of my absolute heroes, Tommy Heinsohn, Mr. Celtic himself. I could go on and on about him for the whole show, but I'm just going to say RIP. There was only one Tommy, and I miss him already.
Agreed. My favorite announcer of all time, and he was the Celtics, right? I mean, it's going to be very, very strange watching the games and not having him on. And yeah, he was the best. He was the best.
Being the oldest member of this four-man booth, Tommy was drafted by the Celtics the year that I was born, 1957. So there has been no such thing in all of our lifetimes, if it's in mine, as the Celtics without Tommy Heinsohn being an intricate part of the team. So totally, totally going to miss that awesome guy.
Absolutely. This year just keeps getting more worse and worse.
Triple threat. The player, coach, and a great broadcaster.
That's right. Well said, John.
Give some Tommy points. And a side note, Rod, Union City, New Jersey. Went to the same high school as one Joey Diaz.
I did not know that. Look at that. I mean, two great, great, great men. And last but not least, we have the rose amongst the thorns, the youngest guy in the four-man booth. Ryder. How you doing, Ryder?
Good.
How was school this week? Good?
Yeah, good.
Good, good. I heard you got a new you got a new video game, the new Miles Morales game for the PlayStation, the Spider-Man game. Real popular. Can you tell the listeners? We definitely have some listeners who like video games. What would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
10.
10. The highest rating. So you're really...
9.
9. So not quite a 10. Not quite a 10, but still a very high rating. So you would recommend that game to our listeners.
Yes.
All right. You heard that, guys. Miles Morales, Spider-Man game. Go get it. We do not have the PS5 yet, but we're working on it. Right, Ryder?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, buddy. It's always great to have you.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. So we're here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network, and before we get into the show, I'm going to kick it over to John to tell you about some of the other great content that we have on the network.
All right, a hot week as usual. This is November, which is the month of Survivor Series, and North-South Connection's got a lot of wrestling-related content and podcast with the Survivor Series themes, starting with No Holds Barred, episode number 44. Aaron and JT, they did a live watch of the first ever Survivor Series main event with the teams captained by Hulk Hogan versus a team captained by Andre the Giant. So that's a great listen. Second Print Comics podcast, episode number 14, how Nick Fury became a black dude. Mark Laird did a great job with that. And then Aaron George, Solo Dolo on the year that was, episode 16, went over 2014 in the WWE. Not a great year, but Aaron puts his own spin on that. And then the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, our boy Jambalaya Jake went over episode number 16, King of the Ring 2002. And then Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, Jenny, and myself with the Pod King and the Pod Queen wrapped over some ECW TV from 9/19 to 10/17/95. And then just today, a hot one just dropped. The Gang gets an Always Sunny podcast, episode 5. Now, Roger, you know these three guys. Aaron George, our boy JT, and Josh Risher.
Now, tell me, solid crew right there.
Tell me, those three guys, that's a lot of charisma, a lot of sex appeal, a lot of personality. That's going to make the ladies very moist listening to that one. So a good week here on North South.
That is one way to put it.
Guys are working hard, man.
Thanks, John. So before we get started, I heard that Cowboy Senior has a treat for us tonight, so I'm going to kick it over to him.
It's kind of a simple thing. I'm going to ask you guys. It's something we've never done here, but I'm going to ask a trivia question. And I want any one of you guys, whoever gets the answer first, just shout it out. And I'm making it nice and fair. I'm going to include something to do with each of your favorite teams. Okay?
Sounds good, Senior.
Okay. The Arizona Cardinals, Isaiah Irving. The New York Giants, Blake Martinez. And the New England Patriots' great former player, Teddy Bruschi, all share what jersey number?
54.
Well done. Well done. And that number was, that great number was also worn by another great linebacker from the Bears, Brian Urlacher. And I just wanted to point out that these two digits in that number have been significant with us, been talked about for the last 3 weeks. And I figured I'd get those numbers right out there to start the show. And that was a nice way to do it.
Man, they plan that out to take a shot at the 5-4 Bears.
And you know, 3 weeks ago when we started talking about that digit, the number of all-time great Bear, Dick Butkus, would have been the number then, 51. But now it's Brian Urlacher, Teddy Bruschi, Blake Martinez, and Isaiah Irving. It's amazing, but Johnny, we called it 3 weeks ago.
I'm sad. One of our Timmy's one of our loyal listeners, and we don't want to drive him away, but it is sad. We shouldn't brag because we get about 10 wrong, but the one we got right is we were all on that train, which has derailed. Yes.
So we're alienating like at least 50% of our audience base right now.
It might even be higher than that.
I want you Bears fans to know that I had absolutely nothing to do with this. I didn't. Senior just said he had a special announcement that he had put together. I didn't think it was going to be a cheap shot to the Bears, kicking a guy when he's down. From a Patriots fan. I mean, I think the Bears would beat the Jets by more than three. That's a brutal take right there, Senior. I mean, they hung tough. They hung tough in all the games. They just need a little more punch on the offensive end.
A little more. I mean, last week's game was, they scored some points. It was garbage time when they scored. They weren't really in that game. If you watched it, their offense couldn't get anything done. They scored two meaningless touchdowns at the end.
7-point game, Senior. One score game.
Yeah, very, very misleading score.
Geesh. All right. So, have you prepared anything else, or move on with the normal broadcast?
Well, you can move on for now.
Thank you, Senior. Thank you. And again, apologies to Bears Nation out there. John Ryder and I had nothing to do with that. I promise. So with Ryder on, and wanted to talk about what ended up probably being the best game of the week, and it really was the game of the week, I would say, was Miami at Arizona. So we talked about this. Senior was alone on the island, being the contrarian. I think he only picked the Dolphins because it's Ryder's favorite team, and he likes to kind of do stuff like that, as we just saw. But he was right. The Dolphins come away with a 34-31 victory. Zane Gonzalez missed a tying field goal at the end. That's not the story of the whole game. Tough loss for the Cardinals. They played well. Tua played very well in this game. Big step up from his previous performance. So, Ryder, while we have you, would you consider this like just a bump in the road for the Cardinals? Or are you worried that it's going to be the start of like a losing streak?
I don't know. They might lose a few more games, but not like lose every game. Like I say, like one or two more.
That's kind of how I feel too. Like, hey, the hype train was going on. I mean, if they would have won that game, Ryder, you know they would be tied for the best record in the NFC with the Seahawks and the Packers.
I know.
Yeah. And the nice thing for the Cardinals is we'll talk about the Seahawks later, but the Seahawks and their worse than the Cowboys defense that they're trotting out there also lost. So the Cardinals remain one game back. When you watch the game, Ryder, it was pretty exciting, right? Watching Tua and Kyler go at it.
Yeah.
Really get to see the future. Now, I mean, I would imagine for a younger guy like you, you'd rather watch, like, you probably have more fun watching Tua versus Kyler than the Sunday night game that I know you didn't stay up for, but that was Breeze versus Brady. Which one do you think is more exciting?
The younger one.
Right. The old guys. I think we might have buried the wrong old guy at the beginning of the year based on how that game went. But we'll talk about that later, too. So I want to take a quick look ahead to what the Cardinals and the Dolphins have this week, because the Dolphins are now essentially, to me, kind of the Cardinals of the AFC in that they're a real up-and-comer. But we have the Bills going to Arizona to play the Cardinals. And if it's not the game of the week, it's close because it's a big game. Two playoff-bound teams, most likely. The Cardinals looking to rebound from that loss. The Bills looking to build on destroying the Seattle defense. The Cardinals' defense isn't exactly the 85 Bears, but they are significantly better than the Seahawks' defense. Ryder, how do you see this game going?
If the defense can do good, then I'd say it would be a close game.
If the Cardinals' defense plays well, it's a close game?
Yeah.
So do you think that the Bills are gonna be able to hold down Kyler? And maybe they're not going to score 30-something points?
Maybe.
Yeah. No, I kind of see it. I see it similarly. So what do you think is a key matchup in this game?
DeAndre Hopkins and Tre'Davious White.
And who do you like in that matchup? Because I agree, that is a key matchup. Could be the two best guys at their position in the whole NFL.
DeAndre?
I like DeAndre as well in that matchup. So, prediction, Ryder. Give me a score.
31-25.
And who's winning that game?
Bills.
Ah! The Bills, what are you trying to just, you wanted to, Ryder, are you doing this because you knew Senior was going to do it and you wanted to just get ahead of him?
No.
You like the Bills, all right. Senior, John, what are your thoughts here? Senior, let's go to you first because I know you're a big Tua guy and you had to be encouraged with what you saw there.
Oh, you know, it was everything from Tua that I, that I was expecting to see as an NFL quarterback. The thing that always impressed me the most when I watched him play in Alabama was his accuracy. And he threw the ball with incredible accuracy in that game. And you know, also, you watch his passes. He just throws a beautiful ball. That ball just looks picture perfect going in. You know, like a lot of people would say, like a good old friend of ours, Raj, who's one of the biggest football people I know, who's quite a bit older than me, Paul Gauthier, who's a season ticket holder for the Patriots since their existence, I think, always told me all the games he went in person, the most accurate quarterback he ever saw was Peyton Manning. And it's hard to argue with. Peyton would drop dimes in there, but his ball never looked that pretty. You know, his ball would wobble a little and stuff. Two of his passes just looked like, oh man, like they just couldn't look better. And they're very accurate. And he showed us a few things with his legs. He pulled a couple of Houdini acts, one real big third down play that he escaped and turned into a big run for a first down on a third and long. So yeah, I was real impressed with Tua. And I think I keep saying that it's a theme I've been talking about for weeks. We're going to be talking about this year's three-man rookie crop of quarterbacks for a long time. They're going to be identified with each other for a long time, and I don't even know which one's the best. All three of them are really good. But also in that game, I mean, you had to marvel at Kyler. He couldn't have had a better game. He was freaking incredible. That bomb to Kirk, I mean, everything he did. I guess they said a pass is more than 10 yards, 10 yards and longer, he completed 90%. Pretty impressive. And he also rushed for 100 yards, which only him and Dalvin Cook were the only two guys in the NFL that rushed for 100 yards Sunday. A comment on the new NFL, there were 11 300-yard passers and 200-yard rushers, and one of them was a quarterback. Passing league. But you know what? It's fun to watch. I mean, I think I texted you a couple of times during the day saying, what a Sunday. So many exciting games. There was a lot of wide open passing games. But yeah, Kyler was unbelievable. You couldn't have asked the guy to be better. It was a fun game to watch, just to watch those two quarterbacks. This week's game, the Cardinals-Bills game, you know, what you got to worry about, Allen started the season off like a house of fire. Then in the last three games before last week, he really hadn't played well, but probably the cure for any quarterback slump is the defense that John has nicely named Legion of Room for us. They're just terrible on defense. And so you got to hope that this doesn't, you know, just get Allen some really big momentum going and he starts going off again. But I'm sure the Cardinal D will put up more resistance. You know, I think a big key to the game is, you know, we're going to talk about Hopkins. You're going to talk about Diggs. Which team has the second receiver have a big, big game? Will it be Kirk? Will it be Smoke Brown? You know, or Beasley?
Larry.
So, you know, if one of those other guys has a big game, I think that could be where we spell the victory. But I'm going to agree with Ryder, and I'm going Bills 34-28.
Man, you guys got no faith. Kyler is like a very legitimate MVP candidate. Very, very legitimate MVP candidate. And Tua played well, but Kyler was very, very clearly the best quarterback in that game. I like the Cardinals. I like them by double digits. The Bills, smoke and mirrors last week with that against Seattle's defense. Smoke and mirrors. I mean, I don't think they're a bad team, but I think Miami's probably the best team in the AFC East, and I think by the end of the year, the records will prove that. For that to happen, the Bills are going to have to lose some games, and this is a game that I think they're going to lose. John, you going to make it a tie, or are you going to side with Ryder and Senior?
Well, Buffalo put it to Seattle. You know, at the end, just like with the other game, with the Bears game, with some garbage. Seattle put up some garbage points at the end, but Buffalo's defense forced Russell into some turnovers. That was really the key to that game, along with their explosive offense against no defense with Seattle. So, I think Buffalo they got through their bad month of October. And they're getting ready to roll. I don't like Arizona's defense at all. They offered no resistance to Miami. And in a close game, I don't really like Kingsbury, some of Kingsbury's moves. Man, that Miami game, it had all the makings of whoever has the ball last is going to win. And I thought only down by three. I thought Arizona was easily going to go in for a touchdown and not have to settle for that field goal. He got that pass to Kirk right down at the 40. There's a minute left. He got plenty of time. And Edmonds is just rocking. It's just running right through him. And on third and one, he just calls it's like a stupid, shitty pass play, yeah, man. That's just a shitty, terrible play. And then he doesn't go for it. And they missed the field goal. Yeah, I didn't like that at all. Just have Murray get the yard or keep handing it to Edmonds. The Miami's defense was gassed. So that's,
especially coaching. Like to do a play like make him throw the ball 15 yards to the right for one yard. You know, I agree with you, John. It was a bad play call there.
Yeah, that bothered me all week about the call. So my ultimate prediction is it's a familiar number, 5-4. The Bills are going to take it. And looking ahead, you know, where I think Ryder says. I think Ryder says that the Cardinals are only going to lose about one or two more games. After this, they got to go to Seattle, at New England, which isn't as tough as it used to be. They got the Rams. Then they got a couple of teams in the NFC East, Giants and Philly. They got the Rams twice. So the schedule is kind of tough towards the end. So I think there might be more than a couple more losses on the docket there for the Cardinals. Sorry, Ryder.
All the more reason that they need to win this game. I'm happy to be on the island on this one. Ryder.
Yeah. And also Ryder. You might get it because the for the Bills, there's not really much of a sense of urgency. They still got a game and a half lead on the Dolphins. So.
True. Ryder, are you there?
Yeah.
So can I borrow one of your Cardinal shirts since I'm the only one that believes in them out of the four of us?
No.
All right. You're gonna watch. We're gonna watch the game. It's Ryder's little brother's birthday on Sunday, so we're gonna be hanging with him. You think he'll let us watch the game, Ryder?
Probably not.
We'll do our best. We'll do our best, though, right?
Yeah.
All right, Ryder. I know. It's right around bedtime. So.
What?
Oh, that's right. It's the weekend. He's got an extra hour. So, Ryder, you're more than welcome to stay on. Or if you want to sign off, you can say bye to the fans now.
Okay.
What are you going to do? Ryder's saying bye. Thank you for the Cardinals analysis, buddy. And I look forward to cheering against your pick with you on Sunday.
Peace, Ryder.
All right, guys.
Go get them, Ryder.
All right. So, good. I think a good analysis there on the Cardinals. I'm surprised Ryder didn't pick them, but it's all right.
Yeah. He's trying to do the reverse. He's trying to do the reverse thing.
Yeah, yeah,
to
no.
Help his team.
So, one of the other big predictions we had last week was kind of twofold, and I feel like I was really really on point with this game. So we had the undefeated Steelers going to Dallas, Garrett Gilbert starting for Dallas, and I said I thought Dallas would give him a game, and I thought Roethlisberger would get hurt, and both things happened. So. We'll take that as two wins for the Cowboy. Roethlisberger did come back in. I'm still fairly unimpressed with this Pittsburgh team. I was kind of impressed with Gilbert. I mean, I don't think you need to be great to be decent with all those weapons. And how could they? I don't know how they rolled DiNucci out there when they had these other guys around, but. Any takeaways from that game? You think it was just a trap game for Pittsburgh, like we had kind of talked about, or something larger going on there?
I think Pittsburgh's still a really good team. Yeah, I think it was just one of those games. It's a team you could have taken lightly, and everybody's entitled to a bad game. I mean, they are, you know, can't be much better than that. So the Cowboys are playing better, too. The week before, they started to play some defense. You know, we were calling their defense the worst in the league, which I think right now we got to say that resides in the Pacific Northwest. And their defense is playing better. And like you said, Gilbert played well. Maybe, unfortunately, they're saying that next week it's not going to be Gilbert. The Red Rifle's going to be back. So that might not work out real well for them.
I mean, I would think they'll – I mean, they're still right in the hunt for that division. So I would think they'll have a pretty quick hook on the Rifle.
They should, because the kid did play pretty good. You never know. You never know if he's anything to do with the real deal. Or he just, you know – we've seen guys come out of nowhere and have a good game or two before and then just fizzle. But
it was against the best defense in football, probably, right?
No. The Cowboys played a good game. You gotta give it to them. They even got some tough calls, you know. So
some tough calls. The referees kind of handed Pittsburgh the game on a silver platter.
So you got to give
very weak.
That was a good call by you and give the Cowboys some credit, but no, I wouldn't press any panic buttons on the Steelers. They're still really formidable.
Yeah, did we see, you know, Ben got a little dinged there.
Well, that would be the kiss of death, like for any team. If he would really go down and be out for the season, then yeah, that's curtains for them, just like it would be for any team.
Yeah, not any team. I mean, I, the way they're built, I feel like they could still be competitive with a decent backup.
But they don't have a decent backup.
That's correct. That is correct. That's my point. So Pittsburgh's playing Cincinnati this week. Cincinnati is coming off a bye. Is this the week that Pittsburgh gets that first L? And is this the week that Roethlisberger's luck runs out?
I'm going upset special. There's been some distractions. People can't practice because of restrictions with the COVID. And since he's coming off the bye, and the Steelers are vulnerable. They're not going to go undefeated. They're going to drop a couple. And I say the first one comes this week.
I kind of like it. I'm kind of with you, John. I was thinking about this as my upset special. It's in Pittsburgh, but with COVID, that doesn't matter as much. Burrow was playing great before the bye, coming off that big win, right? Tennessee, big win against Tennessee.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's not running the ball at all. Ben's really in love with Claypool for a rookie. A lot of targets.
He is.
Sometimes really forcing it, even when he's not open, so... But, you know, Ben sometimes is a drama queen, tends to over-exaggerate. I don't think the injury is serious on that front. But overall, I just say they're vulnerable, and it's a good week for it to come.
And I think Cincinnati doesn't bring the kind of pass rush that Dallas had. So I think Ben probably stays upright this week. What do you think, Senior? You like the Bengals here as well, or you like... Should be an easy one to go with Pittsburgh and then talk about how right you were.
Well, you know, when you say everything you guys are saying is true, that it looks like that kind of spot, guys with COVID, even Ben not practicing because of COVID, you know. All that being said, the Bengals certainly close in a lot of games. Burrow have playing really well with that offense. And when I thought about this game, I was thinking this is the spot that the Bengals – spring another upset. But what makes me not think of it, what's different about that game and upsetting Tennessee is the Pittsburgh defense and their pass rush. The one really bad game that offense and Burrow and that offense had this year was against a team with a big-time defense and pass rush. The Ravens put all kinds of pressure on them, and they couldn't get anything done. And I fear that Pittsburgh – at the very least, go slow them down, maybe even shut them down like the Ravens did. And I think Pittsburgh's offense with Ben will get something done against the Cincinnati defense. So as much as it looks like a spot and all those other things, I really can't pick the Bengals. I'm going to say the Steelers still come away with the victory, and it's nothing that I'll brag about because obviously I'm just taking the chalk.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's the most likely scenario. But, you know, every week there are these games that kind of surprise you, and I think that could be one of them. Speaking of games that surprise you, so we had a great senior. You did. You texted me about during the day on Sunday about what a great week of football it had been, what great games we had seen. And did you say the cherry on top? I think you might have said the cherry on top is going to be Sunday night football.
Yeah, didn't we all think so?
New Orleans at Tampa Bay. And New Orleans just thumped them. Was never a game. Embarrassing performance by the Buccaneers. Awful. And so bad that it's one of those games that almost makes you want to rethink everything, right? Where, you know, there had been some question about the Saints, how good are they? Well, they look pretty good in this game. But more so on the Tampa side, after barely squeaking by the, you know, I guess the resurgent Giants, but not exactly a great team, the Giants, barely squeaking by there, losing to the Bears. This is a team that lost to the Bears that you guys make fun of. I'm sorry, that Senior makes fun of every week. That's a team that has a win over Brady. At what point is it that maybe the sum of all these great individual parts is pretty mediocre? John, I'm going to get your thoughts first on this one.
This comes down to an egregious coaching mismatch between Peyton and the defense coordinator Allen versus Arians and Bowles. It seemed like they were in the backfield and the Saints knew what plays were coming. And also, it's a sad state of affairs for Arians that, you know, they only rushed the ball like four times. I mean, even when you fall down 14, 21 points, you at least got to run to keep the defense honest. You can't just keep, you know, especially when you got a 43 whatever year old quarterback, you can't just keep throwing them back there. You at least got to keep the defense honest with a run here and there. It's only rush, I think that was the lowest in history, four or five times. So that's a coaching mismatch right there that Arians has to pick up his game. And also, Marshawn Lattimore, the last three games has held Mike Evans to a goose egg. And that right there. If they ever meet in the playoffs, that's the first thing. Aaron should just call like a 2 yard out or something just to get that out of his head. Because now Lattimore's going to be in Mike Evans' head. You know, for a great receiver like that, just to get shut down to nothing, you know, three games in a row to the same cornerback.
Had that big fight last year.
Yeah. So they really
Evans so pushed really, him in the back.
Yeah. The Saints really got their number. The Saints really had their number, and the Saints survived, you know, missing Michael Thomas most of the first half of the year, and the second half they got the two dubs on Tampa. They got the tiebreaker, and then the second half of the schedule is just rather cake, so they could concentrate on getting that number one seed, which will be the only bye. The Saints survived. They struggled early, where everybody who said, you know, Breeze should retire, get benched, whatever, you know, you so-called experts, and he looked pretty good out there.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, you have to say that them and Green Bay are the two most complete teams in the NFC, right? I mean, if you're picking a team from the NFC to make the Super Bowl, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be one of those two, but they're your two probably leading candidates given the state of Seattle's defense.
Yep.
Oh, Senior, Tom did not play real well in this one. What do you think? Bump in the road, or is it, I mean, he's got a lot of weapons. He's got three of probably the 10 best receivers in the NFL, top five tight end, two really good running backs. What do you think is going on? Do you blame him? Is it the scheme? Was it the New Orleans defense? Is it just one of those games? What do you got?
Well, I'm going to go with John and put some of the blame on Arians, but let me kind of explain. When Tom went to the Bucs, those that were the naysayers saying it wasn't going to work, he's old. One of the things that they were pointing out was that the Bucs offense was very, very different than the Patriot offense that Tom's been running the last few years, that most of their pass patterns are plays that are medium deep to deep, that throwing the ball downfield, and this isn't Tom's strength. Tom's strength is dinking and dunking, blah, blah, blah. And really, I think if you take away the two New Orleans games, Tom's had some great games throwing the ball downfield very accurately in that Bucs offensive scheme, having no problem throwing the ball downfield to those receivers. But the difference is he can do it when he's protected and he has time. In the two Saints games, they blitzed the hell out of him. And Arians wouldn't, and Tom just, you know, when you're getting hit like that and you don't have time, no quarterback's going to be good, and he's not going to escape the rush that well at this point in his career. Now, to me, why do you, number one, like John said, four running plays, you're not doing anything to offset it there. That's just inexcusable. And also, can you adjust your passing game a little bit? Do you got to keep dropping back five steps, seven steps, waiting for plays to develop downfield when they're blitzing the hell out of you? Can't you call a couple of those little quick slants and little things over the middle like Tom used to throw to Edelman? Throw it to your backs like you used to James White. Do something a little different. Everything was a five-step, seven-step drop, and he was getting killed. So Arians, these people consider this great offensive genius, never made one adjustment in that game while they were getting just completely steamrolled. So totally disappointed in Arians. But, yeah, I think they can bounce back. But, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, us and everybody else was calling them the favorite in the NFC. But you know what? The favorite in the NFC seems to change every week. I don't think there is. I think that the NFC is still up there for the taking. That somebody's got to rise up and grab it. Like now it seems like it's the Saints. But that, who knows it? You know, do you really think that they're that big of a front runner? You know, there's really no big chalk in the. There's nobody in the NFC that looks like the Chiefs and the Steelers. Let's put it that way. Nobody's stepping up and really taking charge. Like I said, just 2 weeks ago, well, we thought it was Brady and the Bucks. Now we're saying no way. So who knows? But yeah, I think Arians coached a horrific game.
All right. So it's on Bruce Arians. I think the calls about the Bucs being the best team in the league were after their big, you know, when they blew out the Packers. That it was similar fashion to how they got blown out by the Saints. The Packers bounced back good from that. I mean, not a great look these last 2 weeks to barely squeak by the Giants and then just get completely crushed by the Saints, who are the big division rival. So the Bucs are going to Carolina for a game against the struggling Panthers, losers of four in a row, sitting at 3-6. And I think you go, you know, if they go into Carolina and take care of business, all right, maybe bump in the road. If Carolina were to beat them, now you have yourself like a little bit of a four alarm fire. I think the Bucs are a team that should consistently beat these below average teams, the Giants game notwithstanding. So I do think they're going to win. I do like them against Carolina. But if you look at the Bucs schedule after that, it's a home for the Rams at Kansas City before their bye. I think those are probably two losses for the Bucs, and then they close soft. Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit, Atlanta. So you're probably looking at somewhere in the 10-6 kind of neighborhood, right, for the Bucs, 10-6, 11-5, which it's a damn good season. And it could be a first-round playoff loss. I mean, they just can't play the Saints, right? If they play the Saints, you can't make that line high enough. They just can't play with them, it seems like. What do you guys think? Anyone like John? You like Carolina there?
No. I'll go with the Bucs this week. And as far as that schedule, even though the home field this year, for obvious reasons, isn't as big, big an advantage. But those tough, all those three tough games are all at home. So the Rams, Chiefs, and Vikings games are all, they all got them at home at least.
And being in Florida, I think they have more fans than anywhere else, right?
Yeah, so but, so I'll go with a 2 out of 3. I still see him 11-5. Quick judgment, 11-5, solid wild card, first wild card team.
And then New Orleans gets to kind of build on this victory with the beat up Niners coming New Orleans this week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that game's not competitive. Either of you guys have a different opinion there?
Yeah, it's not. It's safe to say it won't be as good as last year's. Remember that classic game last year was like 48-46
with the Kittle game, right? Where he had that crazy run at the end. Yeah,
it won't be nearly as entertaining or as competitive. The Saints rather easy, sure, with Mullins.
And in that previous game, you're talking about Bucks, Carolina. I mean, you got to give Carolina a little credit for last week's game. I mean, that was a heck of a game. Carolina in the game of the day of exciting games Sunday, that ranked right up there with one of the most exciting games, Carolina and the Chiefs. They played really tough.
Oh, yeah.
The negative is that it looks like Christian McCaffrey might not go this week. I mean, obviously, they're a much better team. Their offense is a lot better with him. Not that Davis does a bad job, but he's a really dynamic player. And watching the game, I thought Teddy Bridgewater played really well. He really competes. He got a couple of running first downs where he, instead of sliding, he just took tack. He just
the one on fourth down was incredible on fourth and 15.
I mean, he's a guy that you know, we can look his teammates in the eye in the huddle, and you got to respect the living hell out of him, you know. So, yeah, I mean, Carolina's not that much of a cakewalk, but, yeah, I do think the Bucs will bounce back and beat him. If McCaffrey was playing, I might have thought a little different.
Watching the Chiefs-Panthers game, the one thing that – and I actually – it's kind of similar to what the Patriots did on Monday night, and it worked out for the Patriots. But the Panthers were down 9, and they led – I mean, they went on this, like – long in their huddle, long drive at the end, and they're huddling up, and they're down 2 scores. And I don't really get that. I don't know that that's Teddy, but it's just, you know, I think they could have put a little more hop in their step on that final drive.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, they could have used about 5 or 10 extra yards, and for poor Joey Sly, they said, hey, go ahead and kick us a 67-yarder and win the game for us.
Yeah, it was the drive before that. They didn't – because, I mean, they scored, right, when – with under 2 minutes left. And, I mean, to their credit, right, they got the ball back, but it was a 70-yard field goal they tried with Big Joe.
Yeah, the drive before it took forever, man, yeah.
So speaking of the Patriots, senior – near disaster in New England on Monday night as Joe Flacco was partying like it was like the Super Bowl year for most of that game until, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I don't know if they threw the game, but they played like they threw the game. They went through the patch like a hot knife through butter for 3 quarters and then ran 4 plays in the whole fourth quarter. The Patriots escape with their lives, 30-27. Big Nick Folk, big revenge game, gets the game-winning field goal. The Patriots sitting at 3-5. That is 3.5 back. 3.5 back. Do you think there's a path here to the playoffs, senior? Is that just a, you know, they beat the Jets and that was just because
of as much as it was an exciting thing to watch, you know, being a Pats fan, I can't help but be rooting, and it was a great comeback. They played great in the fourth quarter, but everything you say, every time you say it, you got to qualify with it was the Jets. Cam played really well, I thought. His passes were much more accurate, made some good throws. Jacoby Myers really stepped up. Cam made some great runs. It was the Jets. You know, I can't make you feel optimistic to have to go down to the wire to beat the Jets. You know, you'd have to blind loyalty can only go so far. You know, if the eye test, you've watched this team play so far this year. That's not a playoff team. They're just not. It breaks my heart to say it, but there's no way that they're a playoff team. Yeah, there's a path there, especially if it gets expanded to 8 teams. But even then they're just not a playoff team. They're going to have trouble beating anybody. I mean, I hear people saying they think they got a shot this week. Are you kidding me? Against the Ravens, you know the talent gap there is. Remember what the Ravens did to them last year? And, you know, and the Pats had a good defense last year. It's not a playoff team. They're a bottom dweller. That's what they are. They just don't have that much talent.
The Ravens coming off a real impressive smackdown of the Colts. I think we all called that. That was one of the ones we all called correctly, I believe. So the Indy Tampa parlay would have lost, just to be clear. But Baltimore beat them 24-10. You watch the game, the Ravens defense played well. The Ravens offense still looks like it's stuck in first gear, but the Colts do have a very good defense. And then with what the Colts came out and did last night, so we're taping this on Friday, the Colts came out and smacked the Titans last night. Tennessee's a good team, so that makes that Baltimore win look even better, right? They did that in Indianapolis. So we have Baltimore at New England. It's another primetime game for the Pats. I believe that's their third primetime game of the season. And like Senior, I think there's a couple of, well, one of the possible outcomes here is that Baltimore just destroys the Patriots, right? I mean, that's probably the most likely outcome. But I do see a little bit of a path where the Pats could play like they, you know, kind of the same game plan as they played against Buffalo, where, I mean, Baltimore did smoke them last year, but Baltimore's offense was playing a lot better last year. I think there is a path where the Pats take the air out of the ball and, you know, ball control, keep it close and try to win it at the end where they, you know, where that is a possibility. It's tough to pick it just based on what we've seen from these two teams. But similar to Cowboys-Steelers, I feel like this is a 3-point game either way. And I do think the Patriots will end out on the wrong side of it, though. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I like the Pats to keep it close, too. They played well versus Kansas City and Seattle and Buffalo. So, you know, three of the top teams there, they had close losses to. So I think they'll keep it close. But in the end, the Ravens will prevail. But there is some hope. If you get the upset here, you got the schedule loosens up a little. You got Houston, Arizona, and the Chargers the next 3 weeks. So the most optimistic of Pat fans can say, hey, if we get the upset here, we could go on a little run here and still make something of the season. If Cam played like that, and, you know, and don't discredit the Jets too much as far as offensively, because that was the first time the Jets were a different team when they had those three receivers out there, Rashad Perryman, Mims, and Crowder. They were a different team because they were throwing receivers out there through those first six, seven games that don't even belong in the NFL.
Braxton so. Berrios was the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, big difference in the Jets, you know, at least as far as the offensively and receivers.
And Flacco's always been streaky.
Yeah. We always say coaches or organizations tank, but the players don't tank. You know, when you put the guys in the field, they're going to go out there and try to win it.
Agreed. Go ahead, Senior.
Well, the thing that makes this matchup tougher for the Pats than all the games you talked about is that they're a dominant defensive team that you're playing. And to execute this ball control thing and for the Pats offense to be good, they really have to be able to run the ball the way their team is built. And I just don't know if they can run the ball against the Ravens defense. if their running game gets completely shut down, which could happen, it could snowball real quick. I think it's an awful matchup for the Pats. And with the Belichick defense, even when they had good, you know, their good defenses, which their defense isn't playing like that this year, one thing that always gave them trouble was mobile quarterbacks, and you're facing a very mobile quarterback. I just think it's a bad matchup for the Patriots.
Man, between you and Ryder, no friggin' loyalty on this podcast.
I got loyalty. I'm just being a realist.
I'm just
I'll be rooting like hell, but I don't see it. I just can't see it.
And you know what? The more I think about it, I think that I'm taking the Pats. I think the Pats are winning the game.
There you go. All right, Cowboy.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Cardinals-Patriots. That's the money line parlay, boys. Ride with the Cowboy. Right, John?
Yeah, loser island.
So we played our football game this weekend, this past weekend. So we do one every year, but this year we had so much fun doing the first one that we did a second.
It's a beautiful day.
Oh, it's a beautiful day, and so Ryder, it's a shame he's not on anymore, but we had Ryder out there and our team. So in our last game, I played quarterback for a little bit, and I had three possessions. All three of those possessions ended in an interception. So I got pulled, and we ended up winning, right? This game, our quarterback from the last game pulled his hamstring right at the beginning. I had first possession, so I had to come in like Frank Reich off the bench. We're down 7-2. 7-2, and it's a point per touchdown. 6-2. I throw a pick on my first drive. So now we're in 2020, four possessions, four interceptions. Well, wouldn't you know it, that we won the game 15-11, no more picks, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions. So it was Flacco-esque, the streakiness. The play that really galvanized us on a fourth down. It was 6-4, fourth down. I was running around like crazy, and I just chucked it up, and Ryder mossed little Xavier for the touchdown and really got the team going. So Ryder had two touchdowns.
You got mossed.
It was good stuff. So when I'm hot is what I'm saying. But cold. And those who have played basketball with me can attest that it just kind of works like that across the board. You just got to keep shooting, guys. That's what I'm saying. Patriots, Cardinals, take it to the bank. What's the guy's name, senior? Spears? What does he call it?
Oh, the Spears tears.
There you go. I got to come up with something catchy like that. All right.
The big swagoo.
Big swagoo. I can be the little ragu. How's that? All right, guys. So we've looked at a few. We didn't talk too much about Buffalo-Seattle. We kind of alluded to it, but I think we should dive in on that game. John, I know you're a disbeliever in the Seattle defense, but it wasn't just their, and you alluded, it wasn't just their defense in this game. Their offense also, I know they scored 34, but a lot of it was Nick Foles-esque garbage time. Do you think, like, what were your takeaways here? Is it just one of these games? Do you think Buffalo's offense, like, is good, or they were just beaten up on a helpless Seattle defense? Like, I almost felt like this game was, like, not quite the same level, but just like another red flag, just like the Bucs, where it's like, oh, this Seattle team that people are picking to go to the Super Bowl, I really have trouble seeing them making a Super Bowl or a deep playoff run with a putrid defense like that. Like, I really felt like it was more their defense being terrible than anything the Buffalo offense was doing. What do you think?
Nadia. I had mentioned that before. The Bills' defense forced a couple turnovers. Russell's got eight picks now. That's it's very high for him. Usually he goes through the whole year, and that's about his number for the year. So he's forcing a lot of things because of his awful defense, and he also put a couple fumbles on the ground too. So it's very shocking to see that out of him. You know, of course he's the greatest too. You know, you expect perfection every time, but he's slipped. He's slipping too because it's all snowballing because of that terrible defense. And also you saw Adams was back and didn't have an effect and he did as usual. He was arguing with Pete Carroll, or his defensive coordinator, on the sideline. So they're all getting frustrated and starting to snowball. that the teams are figuring out that they could pick apart their defense.
A little bit of a pretty good week for the Jets' much maligned personnel decisions, with Adams completely melting down.
I saw somebody had a negative
yelling
four.
Yelling at Carroll, and then them giving up 44 points to the Bills.
And somebody had negative 4 yards rushing. There, you know.
and Le'Veon Bell not exactly looking like he's in his prime. Those who were worried he was going to steal that, you know, take that starting running back job in Kansas City and run away with it, not happening. So, you know, and then with the Jets almost beating New England, I'd say this was the Jets' best week of the season. Wouldn't you agree, John?
Oh, yeah.
But Adams looks like a malcontent. I mean, he kind of just looks like, right? I mean, and you can say the guy, I mean, and you, the guy is, it's a weird sport, right? Because I think the guy is a really good player, but how good can you be if the unit that you're on is like very literally the worst at what it does in the whole NFL, right? He plays in the secondary on the team that is the worst at stopping the pass in the whole NFL.
Yeah, even though I did bring it up, but so sometimes, you know, we make too much of the when they catch the those sideline shots of people arguing. That's the heat of the game. That happens all the time. So sometimes too much of it. Although Bill O'Brien, you know, stood up to Brady and turned it into a career where he robbed the Texans of all that money. You know, they made him coach and GM just because of the one time he yelled at Brady. So.
So. The thing, I mean, I think when you think about the Seattle defense, the real, like, probably the most damning thing for them, like, at least the Bills have shown before that they can be explosive. The game that the Seattle defense gave up to the Patriots. Cam threw for 400 yards. Edelman looked like he could barely move and had 180 yards receiving. I mean, this is a bad unit. A bad, bad, bad unit.
It's historically bad. They're on pace to give up the most yardage per game they are in the history of the NFL. I mean, it's that bad. And I think some of their philosophical changes offensively, as much as it's great, as much as I can understand it, this, you know, the big catchphrase we're hearing all
let
the time,
Russ cook.
Let Russ cook, right? They got T-shirts and everything else. And it makes sense. They had Russell, John saying he's throwing more picks. Well, most of the past few years, Seattle was averaging a higher percentage of running plays than any team in the NFL run as opposed to pass. They pounded the ball even though they had Russ. So you're going to throw less picks, but you're also maybe not going to be as productive. And so, okay, you're saying you got Metcalf, you got Lockett, and you got Russell Wilson. You got to throw the ball more. But maybe they've taken it too far. You know, for one thing, when you're scoring quick and you're exposing this terrible defense. I mean, when you ran the ball more, at least they weren't on the field so much. You were having some ball control, some time of possession. Now, even when Russ is cooking, you're scoring in like 2 minutes and putting them back on the field, or you're throwing a pick and putting them in a bad situation. So I agree that the change of philosophy, some of it made a lot of sense. Maybe we want to throw the ball more. This is the modern NFL. We've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We've got this big freak at wide receiver and another really good wide receiver. Let's use them more. But maybe they've taken it too far and have almost abandoned their running game. So maybe
the good point, senior,
is working against them a little bit.
It's a very good point. So that brings us to this week, where this is a difficult game for them. Seattle is going to the Rams. The Rams are coming off a bye. I'm saying, yes, it is the Rams. I thought it was the Chargers for a second. I was like, that is not what I remembered. Okay, so at the Rams coming off a bye. The Rams coming off a putrid performance, frankly, against the Miami before their bye. This Rams team, it's so difficult with them because I think they're like the most Jekyll and Hyde team in the whole NFL. And I mean, I think it's Goff when he's cold. I mean, it's just, they just can't do anything. But I really kind of like the Rams in this game, assuming again that it's tough to be cold against that defense in Los Angeles coming off the bye. You know, the Rams are going to put heat on Wilson. They have a good defense, and it's tough to see Seattle really being able to stop them. So I like the Rams. I like Seattle to be 6-4 after this game.
You know, the Rams are a Jekyll and Hyde team. Totally, I agree. They can be good and they can be bad. But, I mean, the cure-all for a bad offensive performance is playing the Seahawks, right? And when Goff's going well, and which he should go well in this game, it's kind of like that short passing game, and they mix in some running, and they'll probably, that's the way I see it, and they'll probably control the ball a decent amount and keep Russ on the sidelines. And the Rams defense isn't just going to be stepped all over. They do have a good defense. You know, Aaron Donald and the boys will definitely offer some resistance and coming off a bye and everything. And I'm totally with you. I see the Rams winning this game.
Clean sweep, John.
Oh, boy. Get your money out, Calvin. Just like with the Bucks. Just like with the Bucks last week, we're going to mush the Rams. But, yeah, I'm all in on the Rams. For a lot of the stuff you guys covered, coming off the bye week, they got guys coming back. And they played a horrible game. So they're gonna improve and turn that around. And Seattle, a lot of travel. They played at Buffalo last week. And this week they got to go to L.A. So a lot of stuff in Seattle. Honestly, Seattle – You know that would be a good thing to pick against Goff. You know, if he was going against a team with a solid defense, but it's not Seattle at the moment. And Seattle already had that bye week, so if the Rams win, they'll both be 6-3.
Yep, and then if the Cardinals win, like we expect them to, they'll also be 6-3. Heck of a division, really. Yeah. Fun division. Now let's take a look here. So there's some. Yeah, I was trying to think of who I think could be going down this week. We got Roethlisberger last week.
I was looking at the schedule. It looks like unless you're a fan, unless your team is playing at 1 o'clock, if you're not a fan of your team, it might be a good day to take your significant other on a rare Sunday lunch date, because the 1 o'clock games are horrific.
Yeah, you got Philly at the Giants, big rematch.
Yeah, that's the NFC least. Other than that, it's not much going on, and that's only because of the sad state of the division.
You like the Giants in that? I mean, John, they're in all seriousness, right? If they can win this one, they're really in the hunt.
Yeah, but the Eagles
have been playing well.
Yeah, but the Eagles still have the Eagles have their number, and I got to pick against them until they finally beat the Eagles. I'm going to pick against them on these things. When these games happen, it always seems like Philly has their number. Not just the breaks. All the big plays go to Philly. So.
And they're getting healthier, John.
Yeah.
Saying Miles Sanders is going to be back.
Well, that would be good, because I'd rather see him than Boston Scott.
Well, there you go. I'm seeing full positive spin on that. Jeffrey's coming back.
Is Goddard or?
Yeah, Goddard's back. Yeah,
Goddard played in the last game.
Oh, okay, so yeah, that's trouble right there. So, yeah, but the to your point though, the Giants have improved, which is what we always say is because of the offensive line is finally learning to blocking some people, and the defensive line is getting a little pressure. So they're a respectable football team, but I don't know if they're ready to beat the Eagles yet.
Well, you get some pressure, and what that led to last week was two big interceptions at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And like I said, when you guys were, and rightfully so, saying that Wentz is the best quarterback in that division, I said he is, but he's got two or three of those. What the fuck is he doing? Plays at him every game where he makes these really ill-advised throws that you would think it was a high school freshman making that decision. Yeah,
trying to do too much.
So if the Giants secondary can be optimistic and come up with a couple of turnovers, yeah, you definitely can win. In our pick pool, I picked the Giants to win, so I'll say it here. I'm picking the G-men. I don't want to put the jinx on you boys, Johnny, but I think they're going to win.
I like the Giants in this game, too. I mean, the Eagles, in the last game that they played, was the worst I've ever seen a team play and win. I think literally. the worst I've ever seen a team play and win in that Cowboys game. The Cowboys with DiNucci were not an NFL team that day. They weren't, right? I mean, they were not an NFL team that day.
Yeah, but the defense did play well. The Cowboys defense did play well.
They did. I mean, they hadn't been playing well. They played better in that game, sure. But the Eagles were terrible in that game. Any other team, the Cowboys with Gilbert would have beaten the Eagles easy in that game. I mean, the Eagles were awful. I mean, that's the worst football game I've watched in a long time.
Yeah.
But and so I mean that's the last thing I have in my mind about the Eagles. For the Giants, I have them giving Tampa everything they wanted and probably getting screwed on a call at the end, frankly, in a game that they could have won. And then last week they came out and they played. Washington's been playing pretty well, you know, and they came out and they played a good game. They played a good solid game and they beat a team that had been playing well. So,
and surprisingly, they ran the ball a little bit versus a tough Washington with Goldman and 47-year-old Alfred Morris. That goes back to the offensive line. It's gone from like the 32nd in the league to about 20th now. They're,
so, John,
they've been respectable. Yeah.
I feel like
new identity for that offense, John. The power running game. I like that.
John,
the Wayne train, yeah.
John, I feel like after doing the show with you for years that I know you pretty well. So I'm gonna say something, and I think I'm right, and you need to confirm. On your list of like guys on the Giants that I like where you rank them, I bet you like Gallman more than Barkley.
Yes, definitely.
100%, right? I knew it. I'm watching. I'm like, this guy is John's kind of guy. This is, you know, he gets what's there. He's no drama. You know, he's not going to give you the huge plays, but he's no headaches there. Am I right, John?
I mean, you know, Barkley, you got to suffer through 10 or 12 rushes of losing yardage. You know, waiting for that 150 yarder, which comes, once every couple games. It's a little rough. And also, Evan Engram is not one of my favorite players. He had some big drops last week again. He was bragging about that one big touchdown, but he also followed it up with a couple of nice drops. So.
He's a guy that really need.
Still in rough shape. Yeah.
He's the talent's there with him, man. You know, you see it, and it's just like he does these boneheaded things. I really hope it all comes together this week, John, and they beat Philly.
We'll see. And also, there was issues with Golden Tate, and with the coach came out looking pretty good in that. So maybe Golden Tate comes back a little motivated this week. Although his backup, the kid Mack.
He played great.
A nice game, yeah. So,
and I mean, it's not as if Golden Tate's been setting the world on fire, or
But also for the attitude wise, that was a good score for the coach. He took care of a little problem, and without much drama, and it worked.
You get a win here, John. You get a win here. Things are looking up in New York.
Yeah, going into the bye, sure. We'll see, but I don't see it. The Eagles just got their number. Brandon Graham's going to destruct the game as he usually does versus the Giants.
Johnny, you're on an island with the Eagles.
Ryan Leiter picked the Eagles as well.
Oh, okay.
I'll be glad to lose that one.
There you go.
And then one more game I want to talk about is Denver at Vegas. So Vegas coming in, you got to say it, right? Good team. Got to call them a good
up and down. I wouldn't say good, but they're up and down. They have potential.
Yeah. Possible playoff team.
Yeah, 5-3. I'm right about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good record. They've been playing well. I haven't always been like the biggest believer in them as a team, just kind of in general. And They were kind of they benefited from the Chargers curse this week, where the Chargers just no matter what can't win a close game, no matter what happens. Denver coming in off a tough loss to the Falcons, where they actually somehow broke the Falcons curse, where it looked for sure, right? Like Denver was going to come back and win the game, but the Falcons held on. Leads me to this week, Denver at Vegas. I'm picking Denver. And I'm going to base it on their pass rush. And I'm going to base it on, I think Carr might go down this week. I think that I'm spinning the wheel. I'm spinning the wheel. And I think it might be landing, you know, the dice may come up snake eyes for Carr this week. Just kind of a feeling I have. What do you guys think?
Denver's been playing better. We're watching a rookie receiver come into his own, Jerry Jeudy. Been playing really well lately. Drew Lock looks good. They're obviously a better team with him than they were when he was out. But I like the way the Raiders have been playing. I think they're a better team. I'm not going to predict the injury to Carr. I mean, if you hit that right, you've got a good chance to get the win. But I got to go with the Raiders. The Raiders at home in that game. Vegas, baby.
You got to break the tie, John.
Yeah, I'm going Raiders. But I could definitely see where you're coming from because the Raiders are up and down. You know, they'll beat a Kansas City one week, and then this is a typical game where they lose a lot.
It feels like the kind of game where they lose, right? Where they're kind of right on the precipice of relevance.
Yeah, let them. Especially they got a real break last week with that Chargers. You know, we still don't know where the catch is. We could go on a whole another hour about that, about the end of that game versus the Chargers. So they said they got a big break, and then they were lucky to get by. Their defense is still soft, the Raiders. I'll give them the edge. This will be a toss up, but it'll probably come down to the fourth quarter again.
Hey, speaking of not knowing what a catch is, I think it was last week that the Peters interception that got overturned, and they called it an interception when they challenged
him.
How do you overturn? It's bad enough if they would have called it that way on the field, but they called it incomplete on the field. How does that get overturned?
He did a three-step.
What are the review officials? I totally don't.
I used to find
it easier to understand the old way when people thought they were making you control it through the catch too long, when like the Dez Bryant play and stuff, people saying that should have been a touchdown. And at least then I understood. At least I always pretty much knew how they were going to call it. This never in a million years that I think that was a catch.
It's the they slow it down. And I mean,
he took three steps. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they slow it down. He took the steps while the ball was in his hand. It doesn't look like, I mean, when you're watching it in real time, it doesn't look like a catch for sure. Right. But I mean, that's the thing. They slow it down and some things that happen in 1 second, if you stretch it out over 10 seconds, it makes,
it's wacky. Cause to me, that's not a catch.
Agreed.
I don't know. Yeah.
Agreed. Hopefully the catch gods get them back this week in New England, Dad.
There you go. That would be good.
All right, guys. Anything else anyone wants to talk about? Or are we good to wrap?
How about the Monday night game? The Monday night game.
Is that the black and blue division battle?
the North.
No, it's not.
It is. It's Minnesota, Chicago.
Yeah, the old black and blue division. There you go.
So, I feel like I'm like jinxing the poor Bears every time I pick them, and now I'm walking on eggshells a little bit too because of Senior's, you know, unprovoked attack on our fan base earlier.
You're 0 for the last three with them
in Chicago. I mean, I have trouble not picking them to beat Minnesota at home. I mean, I think it's, I mean, if they lose this game, I think you can, you know, playoffs goodbye. It's like, I mean, it's at home against the Vikings. The Vikings haven't been great. I know Cook's been real good. The Bears defense has been good. Cousins on Monday night. He's awful in these games. He always sucks in these games, right? So, the Bears by a touchdown.
Okay, Hall of Famers, Derrick Brooks, Jason Taylor, and Junior Seau, war number 55, 5-5.
Seeing you stealing my gimmick. Well, we started with the show with the Bears, and we're going to end the show on this note. To quote the late, great former coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Dennis Green. The Bears are who we thought they were.
Was that 5-5? You broke. You got so excited, you broke up on us there. John.
5-5, yes.
Hey, Johnny.
Who we thought they were.
Cam, hey, Johnny D'Amato. Are we going to be talking about Lawrence Taylor next week and Andre Tippett?
Oh, come on. I don't even want to see who they got coming up. But well, they got a bye week, so we got to wait. And then after that, it will be Green Bay, so it's a possibility. Nick Foles, that offense is horrific.
But in between, they play Green Bay twice in the last six weeks. But in between that, they have Detroit, Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville. That could be 4-0.
You're 8-8.
Michael Irvin.
There you go. Playmaker. Yeah.
It's starting to look like it's going to be a clean sweep at the end of the year with that, because that you know, decision to pass on Mahomes is hanging over their head. So at the end of the year, it's going to be it's going to be GM, coach, and quarterback, clean sweep. And start it all off next year with this.
It wasn't just Mahomes either. It was also Deshaun Watson.
Mitch Trubisky. Didn't they trade up to get that number?
Yes.
They traded up
course.
For him, yeah.
Poor Bears. The Bears. They are who we thought they were.
Great, guys. Good stuff. So to our fan base, I apologize for all of this. Please stick with us.
Timmy, we love you, Timmy.
Classic. D'Amato's going for a reverse jinx, I think. Senior is truly just trying to get under your skin.
No, we gotta let the people know. We were messaging with Timmy last week during the Bears game. So I was like, Timmy, how come the Bears game? I haven't seen it on the Red Zone like one time. And he's like, no, it's on a different channel. It's on the Punt Zone. that was
a good line. I like that.
That was a beautiful one. Great job, Timmy.
Nick Foles did throw for 335 yards.
All in garbage time.
That offense was so putrid most of that game.
The Minnesota defense really isn't very good. So well, it's a good litmus test for the Bears this week. These are three tough games. They played the Rams, the Saints, and the Titans.
I don't know if Cook can run wild on him, but Rod, you see what it says? The Vikings are favored. So even Vegas knows something. The Vikings are favored by a field goal in Chicago. And they got two less wins, and they're 3-5. So what is that?
3-5 team favored on your whole field. That's pretty sad.
You gotta hammer the Bears then. I mean, they shouldn't be getting points to Cousins on Monday night at home.
All right, bet the house then. And next week, John. Next week we're gonna be saying the Bears are who we thought they were.
Well, we're gonna kick the show off with it. Cardinals and Bears. That's what we're gonna talk about next week. So I'm hoping being on the island twice, I can come in with my chest puffed out.
Yeah.
If not, we're gonna have. Who knows what senior will have for us at the beginning? He's the only one who writes material for the show.
So. He's already planning it. He's already planning the 56s and the 57s.
Maybe some kind of musical number.
It's all my fault when I said that 5-4. I created a monster.
All right, guys. So
beautiful.
For our fans, enjoy the week. I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as we enjoy doing it. Please reach out to us anytime. We love talking football, and we love you. For Mr. D'Amato, for Ryder, and for Senior, I am the Cowboy, and I am out.
The Bears.